Is it possible for human beings to get reliable information from and about God? Hello, I'm David Thomas, and this is Good Word. Welcome to our commentary on scriptural topics. I have two conversation partners today, John Dibdol and Paul Dibdol, father and son. I'm very grateful to them to being here, both of them. Have been or continue to be professors here in the School of Theology. Gentlemen, the question that comes before us today is an interesting one, because if we are humans and we are limited in space and time and understanding, and we live on planet Earth, and God, by definition, is a spiritual being who is not limited or even seeable on planet Earth, we face a rather challenging problem of how do we get reliable information from and about God and his plans and his intentions. Certainly there, I see two very strongly competing ideas in human thought. And one is that the place you find that is deep down inside of yourself, that there is some subconscious zone that if you can access it, you get your most reliable and authentic information. In the Christian sense, there's a very different idea of how you get reliable information, and it's sometimes known as the whole process of revelation. I wonder if you have some initial thoughts about that process. What are the parameters of this? How should we as Christians approach this subject? Where might we look for answers to our questions?
That was a whole series of questions.
Yes. There's a lot to try to answer in one. You gave us a whole
package. Yeah, well, that's
package.
Fine. Start where you like.
Well, on a kind of a basic and general level, I think that we can learn something about God as we look at the world around us, the natural world.
Mm.
If you look at a work of art, any work of art, you learn something about the creator of that piece by looking at what they have made, and I think the same thing is true as we look at the world around us. There is something in the natural world that reveals something of God's character, something of God's nature to us.
Hmm. And so, wow, would you say that information has a lot of precision? I mean, what do you learn about God from the natural world?
Yeah, I tried to use general, we can learn some general things, I think, about God from that.
And what would those be?
God's power, that would seem to be one. I think in the natural world, we can see a kind of interdependence, a kind of through the cycles of nature, whether it's the seasons or the way things work together, albeit not perfectly, but the way things work together, we can understand something about God's intelligence, his creativity, his goodness, his love. I think those are some things that are evident as well.
You can see certainly his creativity, the design that you see there, the beauty that you see there. Just even the fact of life, the fact that the miracle of life and the way things regenerate and grow, I think there's a lot of things you can see.
And what do you do with then when the lion jumps on the lamb?
Then you're back to the great controversy.
Last week we talked about that reality, all is not good. It's a
all
broken
is not good,
world.
That there's a battle going on in human beings. I think you can see God in other human beings. You can see acts of kindness and sacrifice that people give to you. But you can also see tremendous wickedness. You see the two sides of both of them. So it reveals both good and evil.
And so now I have a hard question for you. Do you think that this general information is enough to bring people to faith in God?
Yes.
Wow.
I think the scripture implies that it is.
Okay.
Not that it's the end, not that there's absence of something better. I mean, there are other things that we haven't talked about them yet, but there are other things about how God is revealed. But I think if people see God's majesty, they see his power, his goodness, there's a sense of awe, there may be a sense of wanting to work with that power.
Yeah.
I don't think it's completely satisfying, but it's a start.
Yeah, okay. Romans 1 would That's be right. a place where I would turn. Okay. Didn't come up with that answer on my own. I feel like I'm borrowing from another better Paul when I say that. So,
but you've also gone to a book now, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah, the book of Romans.
Yeah, yeah.
But the book does talk about nature.
Yeah, yeah, it does. But it is an interesting question because to me this is a very significant question on account of the fact that the Bible, which actually is the next step we're going to talk mm-hmm. about here, the Bible is not a book that's been available to the majority of people in the world. And so if you have to have a Bible and you have to learn the name of Jesus before you have any hope of heaven, heaven's going to be fairly sparsely populated if you look at the vast flow of human history. I mean, even today, I sometimes go into places in Africa where I grew up, and I find many, many people who what they would really like is a Bible because they've never had one. And so the suggestion that in the cosmos itself, you can find, if you are open to the possibility, you can find indications of God sufficient to bring you to at least a embryonic kind of faith mm-hmm. where you no longer trust yourself only, but you ask for
That's right.
whoever this God is, even though you don't really know much about him, you ask this God for involvement and salvation in your own life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Another part of Revelation, you said this was general, is sometimes called special or specific revelation. What could we say about that part?
Well, most of the time, Protestants begin with talking about the Bible when they come to that, but there are other Christians who begin by talking about Jesus Christ first.
Mm.
You don't necessarily need to have the Bible to hear about Jesus and know about God's revelation in Jesus. So,
in other words, there could be oral traditions and stories.
There could be the stories that are told. You don't have to have a written book. I'm sensitive to that because we worked in a place where there's a lot of illiterate people.
Mm-hmm.
Literacy is not universal even in the world today, and there's a huge number of semi-literate people. And a lot of times, before you give them a Bible that's written, they learn oral stories, they yeah. learn a message or a story about Jesus. And so I think that can be part of it.
Okay.
It's certainly part of special revelation.
Okay. And of course, I would assume that the people who told those stories at some point got them from the Bible. Because I mean, is it really viable that they these
probably
stories
now most of them have?
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a time, and certainly in the early church, before yeah. you had the written word, that it was
yeah, yeah.
it was an oral yeah. word and an oral tradition, and people believed on the personal testimony of people who had yeah. experienced yeah. it.
And it is amazing the power of stories, and now also our capacity to remember stories. I mean,
That's
all
right.
of us could probably tell occasions where we heard a story at a campfire or who knows where, and it entered our own minds, and it stayed there intact over a long time. Of course, having something written down makes it more preservable. It's more accurately preserved.
Yeah, well, we're a print society, although we're kind of going away from that now, back to the return to the visual society with all the technology yeah. that we have yeah. today. Yeah. But I think sometimes we make salvation almost dependent on a literary work or a writing, when in fact it's the story that writing tells that is the saving
yeah.
story.
Yeah, I like that point. So how does this process of getting a reliable revelation work? Any comments on that? I mean, how did the Bible come into existence, in other words?
Timothy, 2 Timothy, says that people were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that Scripture is God-breathed,
mm-hmm.
that men wrote as they were carried along by mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. Spirit. So it's God's initiative. It seems to me that this revelation, God takes the initiative, and he reveals something of himself and his purposes for us, and he does that through human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible is a written record of that which God has revealed to prophets of old.
And probably not just prophets, but also people who, like the whole New Testament, doesn't really have a lot of prophets like the Old Testament, but has the written record of people who saw and witnessed.
Yeah. I'm using the word prophet in the biblical sense, which would include
people
include
who,
what yeah, what yeah. you said, those yeah. that are delivering God's message to God's people.
And I'm actually intrigued. You teach, Paul, you teach a class on Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and I'm fascinated by the first four verses of the Gospel of Luke, because Luke there actually says quite plainly that he interviewed people in search of the best evidences and the most gripping, most reliable firsthand accounts of Jesus' ministry, and he wrote those down.
Yeah, he says, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. And this is after he said, a lot of people have written stuff. Yeah. I've consulted that, eyewitnesses, servants of the word, and now I'm writing.
Yeah.
Carefully organizing, you get the idea.
More carefully, right?
Yeah, he did research. He was a researcher.
Yeah.
And he gave the story of the testimonies and the people. Yeah. And what had happened.
And the intention is to hand on reliable information.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'm intrigued also by the Gospel of John, because John didn't write everything. He says at the end, Jesus did many other things that he did not record, but the ones that he did record are there to enable us to come to faith.
Well, and in the Epistle to John, too, it's very important that he've touched it. Our eyes have seen it. We've heard it. We've touched it.
Yeah.
This is not some pie in the sky, touchy-feely kind of thing that we have no evidence for.
Yeah.
This is sure, and we've experienced it, and we can testify to you.
And of course, Peter, he told the Christians of his era, we didn't follow cleverly invented fables. You know, and he links actually the word of prophecy of the Old Testament with the eyewitness accounts of the New Testament.
They told true stories.
They told true stories? Now, why'd you say that, John?
Well, because we have of pseudo-gospels
as well.
We have stories of Jesus that we don't accept as reliable.
Yeah.
There were people who told stories at the time or shortly thereafter that were not correct.
That's true. And so actually what happened over time is that the believing community evaluated these very carefully and by very stringent means and standards and included in the Bible those ones which they concluded were
rang true.
Yeah, they were the true ones and the ones that had the authenticity. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by, and we have just a little bit of time here, I'm intrigued by one other thing here that's sometimes called illumination, is that, you know, the acts of revelation are thousands of years old now. So how is the Bible relevant to us today? And I'm intrigued by the reality that if you study the Bible in a prayerful frame of mind, asking for guidance, that the Holy Spirit will come along and make that the contents of that document alive to you. And you know, we don't have time to really talk about that. But the Bible is not just old information. It's made current in the lives of people now because the same Spirit that inspired it in the beginning is illuminating it in the minds of people
today. Touches us as we read it.
So, well, John and Paul, thank you. This, of course, is a much bigger topic than we were able to deal with here, but at least we made a beginning. So my thanks to you. My thanks to Chad Afterhar, our program engineer. And to those of you who listen, my thanks to you as well. For Good Word, I'm David Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.